Plagues lies in ruins.
This is the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. You're listening to The Instance.
Hey everybody, welcome to or back to The Instance. I don't know, maybe it's your first time, and if it is, welcome to the 15-year-old podcast that knows what the hell you want, I guess, sort of, kind of, maybe, I don't know. I'm Scott Johnson, and it's October 9th, 2020. Joining me today, the long absent but always welcome, Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, so the intro said the house of something, and I was like, wait. Is this the intro, an intro from the House of Hades?
Found a way to put the Hades conversation right in at the top. That's
I can't stop talking about it. Yeah. It's hard, like I'm super tired. I'm on a WoW podcast. Yeah. I'm still talking about Hades. Yeah. Really good game. Anyway, yes, I'm good. It's late. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Because I am the parent of a small child. And also, I'm very busy. But you know what, Scott?
What?
I'm never too busy for you.
Oh, that makes me feel really weird. Hey, listen to this, though, too.
I even put on a scarf.
Oh, yeah, look at that. All right. Look, we're living the dream here. Garrett's not here this week. He had a big deadline he had to do and deal with, and so...
You can tell the truth, Scott. You can say that Garrett was like, what? Patrick's going to be on this week? No way I'm coming on the show with that jerk.
Yeah,
that's
F off.
That's what he said.
F that noise, he said out loud. And I said, hey, now, take it easy. We love Patrick. And he said, no way I'm coming on. But this was all behind-the-scenes stuff that you weren't supposed to tell anyone about. So I guess it's out there
sorry.
Now.
Oh, sorry. Are we live? I thought you were going to edit this. Okay, never mind.
Nope.
I love Florida man Garrett.
Yes, he's the greatest of
he
the Florida men.
He doesn't love me back in that way.
Yeah, all the men in Florida, none of them hold a candle to Garrett. All right, we're going to dive right in and start with some side quests. Okay, Blizzard was given a clear path or gave us a clear path of what's going to happen with the pre-patch and what you're going to start doing after October 13th in World of Warcraft. The actual pre-patch, as mentioned last week, will arrive on the 13th with the following features locked and loaded and ready to roll. So, on day 13 of this month, new character, new player experience, levels 1 through 50. You can go make a new guy. Your existing characters won't be able to do much, but they'll now be level 50. So look for that because your current 120 status is about to take a real dump. It's not happening. It's getting squished. By the way, this includes Exile's Reach for new and returning players as a new character experience. It's my number one looking forward to feature. People think I'm weird because it should be Covenants. It should be Torghast. It should be a lot of things. But for whatever reason...
Wait, that's, even in the actual expansion?
Oh, yeah.
It's your.
I'm most excited about playing that because I played it in the beta. Okay, so I got a little taste of it. And the starting area is just the starting area.
No. You didn't just... Oh, you didn't play it to completion in the beta.
No. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
But I'm looking forward to that good old-fashioned, hey, guess what? This MMO has character 0 to 50 progression again, and you're going to get to do whole storylines of an expansion, and there's all the cool scalability that's happening with all the zones and all the expansion content.
I don't know how much... I mean, I don't want to tell you what you like, but Exile's Reach specifically, you're going to play it once, yeah. And that's really all you need to do. Like, it's not very repeatable. It's okay. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's not really repeatable.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about, interested in repeating it. What I'm looking forward to is starting there, making a brand new guy, my MMORPG man. And I'm going to take him through the world, man. Like, I'm just excited to get back to that. Back to the basics of what an MMO drug me in the first place
for. But you can do that today.
I know, but it's not, I don't know, it's not new yet. I mean, you're making a good point, and I don't disagree with you. You're not wrong. But for whatever reason...
No, I get it. It's an opportunity to do that. It's just weird that you're waiting for the new content to drop to go do... old content when you can do the old content now. It's just the numbers that are going to change.
I get
like, you can go and you can't level for your whole leveling process through one expansion. I guess that's the difference.
Yeah.
But aside from that,
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like creating a new, like mechanically speaking and like a lot of that kind of stuff. We're talking about the very same video game that we already have. You're not wrong. But there's something about it that has me excited, and I can't even tell you what. I think I just want to get in there and get some story on and read some quests and do those quests and not think about endgame stuff yet. I'm tired of worrying about what eye level I am or all that. I just want to play
RPG. I see what's happening.
Yeah?
Because this is going back to a time when we had a lot fewer levels, you are maybe subconsciously being taken back to that same time on the show when Randy Jordan Deluxe refused to go to Outland because he was like, no one's telling me to go there. Yeah, I'm just going to stay in the old world and just do stuff here and like pick some flowers.
Yeah.
And he didn't say it like that. I'm just, you know, I don't know how to speak like Randy. But yeah, and he wouldn't go to Outland just for the most ridiculous reason.
Yeah. Well, and there are people in the chat room who are already saying, why not just Final Fantasy 14 then? And maybe they're right. Maybe that's what I should do until actual Shadowlands, which, by the way, we still don't have a date on. One would think, you know, by November we ought to have it out.
With the pre-patch, it can't be, like, it's not going to be 3 months, right? Oh, I guess maybe it could.
It could.
There's no reason why it couldn't be.
Because originally the plan was pre-patch and then pretty immediately, well, I don't know immediately, but maybe a couple of weeks later it'd be in. So.
I think it's usually 4 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. But I think the original plan for this expansion was about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think they would release it before the end of the quarter, I guess.
I would hope so. They better.
End of December.
They best do that.
I mean, yes. Otherwise, Bobby Kotick won't be able to afford his solid gold pool this year.
Yeah. Later on, we're going to talk about the French office is closing. Maybe he's going to use some of that money for his fancy new digs there. I don't know what his plan is. We'll get to that. Don't worry. Also, the levels and stats quiz happening in full effect after the 13th. New character customization features. Gender, character stuff, different colored hair with a beard, that kind of junk we talked about a little bit last week. That's all coming. Here's the part that has me slightly additionally excited, or it's kind of in line with what I was already saying, but time walking campaigns. Here's a quote from them. This new feature will allow content from locations like Northrend or Pandaria to scale to a player's level so they can adventure from level 10 all the way to 50 and experience the stories of these areas at their originally intended pacing. You visit Cromie near the embassies in Stormwind and Orgrimmar to start your expansion leveling experience. If you'd like to select a different expansion to level through, simply speak to Cromie again. Again, like this idea that I can go and have a proper experience through Lich King time and experience that again is all kinds of compelling. But also to know that if I get halfway through and go, oh, it's not as fun as I remember it, or I don't really like this zone here, or these all look ugly because, you know, graphics haven't changed here or whatever, I can go back to Cromie and change my mind and go somewhere else. Like, there's, I don't know what it is about that that appeals to me, but it's grabbing my chain and yanking it around. So well done, Blizzard.
I'm sure you're not the only one.
Yeah, I can't be, right?
Getting their chain grabbed.
Well, at the very least, they hope I'm not the only one because this is what they got, right? We don't have a new date for the canceled day for Shadowlands. So this is the wow you're getting on the 13th. So like it or not, these are the things you're going to get to do. There's going to be a newcomer chat, which basically is for low-level players. People have never played the game before. Again, they're focusing very hard on saying, hey, this game's very approachable now. Come play it for the first time if you never did before. But there will be a way for old timers to get in there and help if you're in good standing with Blizzard, that your account hasn't been flagged for anything rotten. They didn't give a lot of details on that, but that's there. Here's my favorite new thing that I didn't know was happening. Maybe it was already announced, but I missed it. Allied races no longer require reaching exalted rep with the associated faction. Patrick, dance in the streets, party all night. It's time to get your extra classes or your extra races without having to work too hard for it. How do you feel about that?
I mean, you still need to do the quests and achievements and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, you got to still go through the rigmarole. Sure.
But maybe the rep. But Yeah, it's good. I mean, it doesn't make sense. We all knew that was going to happen. The rep was just, you know, to keep people occupied.
Yeah.
In content lulls, so it makes sense.
It was time gating, but here's the thing: I've got character, or I have additional races that I never got my hands on from Legion because I didn't want to go do all the rep. It just annoyed me. It wasn't worth the payoff, in my opinion. Now I don't feel that way so much. So if what you're telling me is I can get into Exile's Reach with a brand new, I don't know, Zandalari troll standing up straight, you know, and just run this whole content as a mage or whatever. Like, I don't know why.
If you talk about how you want to do old content once more on this show, just getting up and leaving. That's it. I don't know why it annoys me. I'm French. That's why.
Yeah, you are French. French people get annoyed. More on that soon as well. We'll talk more about the annoyance of the French later on in the show. Also, let's see, tons of tweaks and changes to classes and abilities. We're not going to go through those in detail because there's a ton of them and they're on the WoW site, so you can go find those for yourself. And shortly after the pre-patch, in their words, the Death Rising event will launch. It will run till launch of Shadowlands. We don't know, again, with the dates, so shortly after is the best you're going to get, whatever that means.
If it's 4 days, it's not going to... Oh, hey, my wife is here.
Oh, I like your wife. Okay. She's better than you.
She says hi. What? She's better than
she's
me?
She's better
yes,
than you.
No, yeah,
she's
she
way
is.
Better than
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's also somewhat transparent because she's from Finland. Anyway, yes, Patrick, go ahead.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
I see my wife and then I don't know what I was thinking anymore. I'm all like flustered. Yeah,
took the wind out of you. I'm sure she feels that way about you when she sees you.
Oh, yes, the pre-patch and the event. I don't see the event running for, you know, 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it will, but I wouldn't expect it to. So I'm guessing it's not going to be pushed back as much as some people might have hoped.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Patrick, tell me about the Shadowlands Covenant ability location restriction.
Yes, absolutely. I will. I have dreamed of nothing else for the past 3 weeks. Blizzard announced that the Shadowlands Covenant ability location restriction has been removed. Rejoice. For a hot minute there, you could only use your Covenant abilities in Shadowlands and nowhere else in the game. The change will show up in next week's beta update and represents a decision on an internally controversial topic for the team. They say Covenants are the centerpiece of Shadowlands, but when the following expansion comes out, we know we'll need to ensure that a returning player doesn't need to go back and do the full Covenant progression in order to be complete and competitive. And when that time comes, it won't feel great to lose something that will have come to feel part of your character. artifact. That led them to experimenting with just having these Covenant powers tied specifically to Shadowlands so that nothing would change technically when players are ready to move to the next expansion. Blizzard says reducing that feeling of loss a couple of years from now isn't worth the expense of a weaker sense of connection to your Covenants in the meantime, along with feeling like a part of your character is missing when you're running legacy content. They go on to say that this was all about listening to players regarding the issue, and the feedback around the change makes it very clear.
Makes sense to me. I don't like it when I can only do a thing in one place. I don't even like it when it's in like a single expansion. And let's say I'm trying to think of a good example. In Legion, there were certain abilities that you could use actually all the expansions since probably Warlords had this. If you were in a zone, a particular zone, there was like a zone feature, right? And on the UI, you'd have a little, you could pop it and it would bring down a couple of elves to help you, or a fire thing, or some other thing that had something to do with the zone you were in. I can't think of any exact names at the moment, but I never liked that because it meant if I wanted to go somewhere else, I couldn't use that thing I like. It would say, oh, it doesn't work here, it would say. Or this trinket's no good in this part of town. I hate that. Can't stand it. Drives me crazy. Sounds like this is a little less in that direction, a little more in the direction of, hey, during this expansion, use it wherever you want it. We don't really care if it makes things unbalanced and miss a Pandaria. Just go go use these abilities. It is not location specific, nor is it covenant specific or covenant zone specific. Quick note to add to this. There was a forum commenter at the bottom of this thing that said something interesting. It says, during Legion, we had artifacts. Obtaining them, growing their artifact power, unlocking abilities, adding stuff to them was pretty fun for the 2 years or so that we played Legion. But a big part of what made it fun was the stuff that was new, not the stuff that was old. So when Legion ended, losing them wasn't a big deal because we started our new amulets, although you could argue those sucked. But regardless, there were new systems to play with. So Patrick, my overall take on this, this is the right thing to do. Trying to figure out a way to wedge in these powers and abilities and things you've worked for 2 years on an expansion, having them carry over to the next expansion is just a nightmare of systems. And I don't know that there's a good way to do it. I prefer...
No, they were never talking about that. They knew that it wouldn't carry over to the next expansion.
Well, players have been talking about wanting this stuff to start carrying over. Like you, like yeah, the argument is
you never listen to players.
Well,
you know that.
Well, someone's got to listen to those you know.
I mean, I'm sure that idea has been expressed, but everyone knows that that can't really work because then you have a million. I mean, it could, of course, it could, but it becomes a little bit clunky. The question now is, can you only use them in Shadowlands or use them in Shadowlands and everywhere else as well?
Yeah.
And I think both can make sense. I think the version they're landing on now, using it everywhere, is more fun, and I'm glad they're choosing that. Just like, you know, as your commenter is saying, and we referred to, just like artifacts.
Yeah.
But it could have been just, you know, those covenants are in Shadowlands. They don't want to go out. They can't go out for lore reasons, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Some people think the lore reasons are just too easy of an excuse to not. I don't know. I like, you're totally right. Like, it's not feasible for them to carry these things forward. It was never feasible for us to still be doing garrisons unless you want to restructure the entire game around garrisons or something. Neither with the weapons in Legion. Like, I don't know how that would have carried forward without, again, stacking these systems. And then we'd be doing it again from all the amulet crap we just went through. And then we'd have to do it again with all this new stuff coming out with Covenants. So I think I prefer
and
the
especially,
way...
There's one thing that people don't seem to understand is that if you have all those systems that are still active and valid in the new expansion, then it forces you, if you're min-maxing, to do everything. Yeah. Imagine if you had the garrisons from Warlords and the war table from Legion and the war table from BFA. You would go and do all of them to get your gold, for example. Or you would go, and if you had your artifact, you would need to, either it stays as it was and you don't touch it anymore ever, and it's kind of a little bit boring, or you have to respec it all the time, depending on what you're doing, if it's still valid in the current expansion and current, and the amulet, and all of the pieces of gear that are dependent on the amulet. It's feasible, but it's bad game design.
Yeah.
And the fact that you get new systems, I see people in the chat room commenting that, oh, new systems that are added up and get taken away cheapens them. They want to have the game feel fresh. You don't want to have the exact same systems, you know, every expansion. That would just make the expansion a different color on the exact same thing. And you can't keep all of them over 10 expansions and keep all of those systems going forward. I don't, you know, it's all, if you're being logical, there's no way that either of those solutions work. So you have to fall back on the existing, on what they're doing now.
Yeah, I agree. Otherwise, what you have is classic. I think those people maybe like classic. You know what I mean? Because classic was the original systems. There it is in its complete form. That's without any additional expansion content and or systems from expansions. So that's your game, I think. I think that's kind of where things are. If that's what you wanted, where it never changed and you never got anything new to do at each expansion, then vanilla is your jam. Personally, I don't see how it's tenable for them to move all that stuff forward in a game like this. So I tend to side with Blizzard on this in terms of just from a logistics standpoint. like, how the crap are you going to do it? And people in the chat are like, well, you design them to move forward. Well, that's easy to say.
Yes. Just, you know, it's the incredible argument of just make it good. Yeah, why don't you just make it? I don't mean to pick on you, Snake. I'm sorry, but it feels like that's what you're saying. Just make it good. It's not that hard. You know, just don't make it crap.
Yeah. We want as least amount of crap as possible. I'm totally with you there, but I just don't think it's just never as simple as saying, you know, just do it.
Listen, so. In the same vein, I keep hearing about that 5G thing, right? Yeah. Like the new speeds, 5G. Why don't they just go immediately to 6G? That is just ridiculous. Just make it 6G. Why do you need 5G? Okay. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, just, why not? Why even bother? Let's just skip right over it. Hey, they went from Windows 8 to Windows 10. They could do it. They could do it here.
Exactly.
Skip that number.
If Microsoft can do it, then anyone can. That's what I say.
Yeah. Well, I think nobody's going to – I don't know too many people would make the argument that the Legion systems weren't awesome because they were. And there's maybe a little bit of feeling of like, well, I kind of wish those moved up. But kind of did-ish. Like some of the ideas moved forward and they were just implemented in a different way. Maybe not as well. Well, not maybe. I think definitely not as well.
I mean, they are doing that for many of them. We all thought that the garrisons were going to go away. They didn't. You're not building them in the same way, but you have your companions and your war tables, and now they're evolving it again with this, auto battler type thing in your war table. They are doing these things. And the amulet was an evolution of the... of the artifact. It just was, you know, a crap version of the artifact that they tried to fix afterwards. This covenant system, in a way, it's gameplay impacting alternate advancement system, right, which old school people from previous MMOs will remember. It's just a way to gain power, which artifacts are. It's just a way to gain power when you have reached max level. That is not just additional experience, but in a way it kind of is. It is just an experience that doesn't add to your levels.
Sure.
It's all taking lessons from the previous thing and trying to make it seem fresh again, saying, oh, just keep everything the same and then add new things or improve them, like do the artifact with keeping adding more and more talents to the artifact. At some point, it stops working. I'm sure they could, but it doesn't feel as fresh in the same way. If they do, I mean, some games manage to do it. You have Diablo. It has stretched its system to the point that it has become extremely dumb to keep pushing it. It's still fun, but it's the same thing stretched to increase power over and over and over again. I think for an MMO like this that has been going on for 15 years or more, you do need something that is more fresh. I mean, that is fresh in the substance and in the form.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to do. Not always successful. I completely grant you that. But
well, if they want to keep things fresh, they've made something rotten that I want to tell you about, and that is a hunter change. And I took a little heat for this because I talked about it on Twitter, and people are like, what's the problem? It's not a big deal. I'm annoyed by it, so I'm bringing it up. A little bummed about a hunter change, and I need to mention it. Here's what Blizzard said. I'll give you the quote first. Hello. In this week's PTR, the Shadowlands beta builds will include a 5% bonus damage component, which was removed from the Hunter's Mark ability. So Hunter's Mark, you may remember it way back in the day. You'd put it on a dude, and it meant you got basically, it's not really a dot, but it was like a debuff so you could...
No, it's a debuff.
Yeah, or a buff for you, debuff for them, exactly. And it was great because it meant you were going to do more damage, and it meant that they were going to die quicker, and it was a... It was a mechanic you had to apply and then reapply. And, you know, it was basically a kind of a, you know, a cool thing the hunters don't get anymore. So I'm annoyed that they're taking it out. They say Hunter's Mark is a cool class ability with unique functionality that we don't want to get rid of. So we're adjusting it to be solely for utility as its core functionality. Hunter's Mark will remain on the global cooldown, and it will still provide visibility against a stealthed target, unquote. I think hunters need more buffs, dots, debuffs, more cool shit. That's what I want. I want stuff that makes me do things to things that isn't just shoot them. So don't take away my damage buff from my hunter's mark. That was going to feel like 2004, yo. And I know I could go play, you know, classic and get the old thrill back, but come on, man. Don't take it away. You could have figured out a way to balance that out so that just a 5% bonus wasn't going to be a problem. Let's get it in there. Keep it in.
It would have been very easy. Just do the 5% yeah. bonus thing and just nerf every hunter ability by 5%. So you get to the same result.
You know, one to giveth and you taketh away, or however the old phrase goes. Anyway, if you're a fellow hunter and you're annoyed by this, or if you think I'm totally wrong and the decision they made is the correct one and there are other ways to achieve what I'm looking for, send me an email and chew me out about it. I'd be happy to discuss it with
you. I don't think you're wrong. I just think that one class complaining about a nerf that they're getting is the most wow thing that has ever been.
You're not wrong.
So thank you.
You're absolutely correct about that. That's true. All right, let's talk about mythic mount drops. Boy, oh boy, I'm so happy to hear they're going to be 100% drops from here until the end of time. Oh, wait, it's not true.
Well,
Patrick, tell me what's going on.
Scott.
Yeah.
Blizzard made an important clarification regarding mythic mount drops from now until Shadowlands. When Shadowlands is out officially, the drop rates on mythic raid boss mounts will drop to just 1%. Until then, you'll have a 100% drop rate. So if you still have lots of time, to get your mount collection where you want it ahead of the expansion. As a reminder, this is just one set of items that will become either impossible or less likely to get after the expansion hits. So get your stuff while the getting's good.
Yeah, get in there now. I mean, if you're gonna go, is there a bigger drop between 100% and 1? I guess 0 would be the lower way to go, but that's a bummer. It kind of got me going. You know, maybe I should get carried and go get some of the mounts that I want off of some of those runs, but it's not gonna happen.
You know, you always have this. It's difficult because it's mythic, but hopefully at some point, maybe not this expansion, but the next one, you'll be able to one man these, you know, many of these. Mm-hmm. It's just like trying to get invincible. Is it invincible?
Invincible. Yes. Yeah.
Arthas mount.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the amazing song that Russell Brower wrote called Invincible. It's an amazing piece of music, but it's about the horse. So, yeah. Well, good luck, everybody, trying to get their shit on there, because it seems like a giant pain to me. All right, now this. Let's get to our main quest today. Activision Blizzard is shutting down their French offices, specifically the ones located in Versailles. Am I saying it right? Versailles.
Versailles, yeah.
Sorry.
It's almost the same.
I know, but Americans do it bad. Anyway... thankfully, we literally have somebody here today who's worked in that office, like knows that place up and down, and it wasn't that many years ago, so I'm pretty excited to get to a better understanding how this stuff sort of works over there. But moreover, I want to know what this means for Blizzard as a worldwide company, and Europe in particular, and that sort of thing. So to get to some of the details, the office located in Versailles employed about 400 people as of 2019. That was the headcount. And they handled marketing, customer support, localization, other stuff for games that Activision/Blizzard would release and publish in Europe. And there were, not long ago, before the COVID-19 pandemic, there were plans to move about half of those people to London and sort of integrate them over there. But the Brexit stuff that's going on, plus COVID-19, pretty much put a halt to all of those plans. So that didn't end up happening. To give you a little bit of history, starting in 1998, Blizzard was owned by Vivendi SA. This was a French-based conglomerate. And during that time, during the ownership that they shared at that time, the company released a string of very, very popular games. You probably know them all. StarCraft, StarCraft Brood War, Diablo 2 and its expansion, and of course, World of Warcraft. You could argue those were the salad days of Blizzard. Some of the best stuff happened during those days. Although I'm not saying there's a correlation, but you know, anyway, that was the time. In 2008, Vivendi's game division merged with Activision to form Activision Blizzard, which was then divested from Vivendi completely in 2013. I thought that was way sooner, but That wasn't that long ago. Anyway.
No, it's just Vivendi kept some of the stocks and then sold everything in 2013, I believe.
Right. They're completely out of that. They have no stock in the company anymore. One tiny note, the company also closed their Hague offices, the offices they had in The Hague, earlier this year, very quietly. They didn't really say anything about it. But those are gone as well. Now, on to how this stuff works and why it matters. I'm going to pass this over to Patrick and ask some questions because I know this already, but I don't know it as well as you do. The way labor laws work here in America, let's say they shut down Irvine, which would be crazy, or let's say they shut down their Austin offices. That would be a very different process of, is there severance? How long can they live on their severance? You know, what kind of opportunities do they have? What kind of protections do they have? Labor protections, that sort of stuff, are very different than what happens in France. So explain how that works and why maybe some of these knee-jerk Twitter reactions of like, I can't believe it. They're once again, victimizing their employees or whatever. Why is it maybe more complicated than that?
I mean, it's not good. I'm not here to say that all of this is good. And it's certainly, I think there are two elements. And the second one is going to be the relationship between Activision and Blizzard and how this shows that it's evolving. Mm-hmm. And I'll have a lot to say about that as well. But it's true that I think the way people think about things like this when they come from an American context is maybe not exactly appropriate, and they might have some knee-jerk reactions that are not justified in the same way. Now, to preface this, it's never fun losing your job. And certainly when you look at it from France, it's not like everyone's like, oh, cool, okay, never mind, whatever. We have labor laws that make it all not a problem. That's not what I'm saying. People are quite angry about this, and it's not cool when a big corporation that's making a lot of money is deciding to shut down an office just to presumably make more money and have more profits. So please understand that this is not what I'm saying. However, when you look at it from the US, when you're let go, you're very often left in the dust with nothing. That's not how it works in France. You have strict, as Scott said, labor laws. The company direction, the managers are going to enter into negotiations with unions. And my guess, I don't know for sure, but my guess is that employees are going to get probably 6 months to a year. I would guess maybe a year in this case, because they had the letting go of other employees before. And we know that they're moving everything to London. So it's not that they don't have any money anymore and they have to close. It's just a choice. So they're probably going to have a really good severance package. And on top of that, they're going to have unemployment benefits if they haven't found a job after the severance package runs out. And an unemployment benefit can be, you know, about 2 years, not at full salary, but it's going to be about 2 years.
Okay. And people qualify for that if it just is there like a set time that if a severance doesn't cover it or something?
Well, if you haven't found a job until, I mean, you don't get the money when you're quote unquote being paid. I believe maybe it's different. I'm not a super expert on this, but yeah. If you get a year worth of severance package, then you're not going to get unemployment benefits for that year. Okay. I think that's how it works.
All right.
And then you get the unemployment benefits up to 2 years at part of your pay, but a significant part. I think that, you know, it's roughly how it's going to work. There might be some details there that I'm getting wrong. I apologize if I do. But also on top of that, remember that education is quote unquote free because you pay for it with your taxes. Everyone pays for it with their taxes. And similarly, healthcare is free. So I'm not saying this to get all political, but I'm saying this to say that when you look at this from the US, you imagine the situation that you're let go. You maybe don't have a good severance package because you don't have collective bargaining to ensure that employees are treated as fairly as they can. And you don't have healthcare, you don't have decent unemployment benefits, possibly, depending on how things go. So it's a much more dramatic situation in the US than it would be in France. Again, that being said, I'm not saying it's fun to be let go in France. It's never fun. It's, you know, very disruptive to your life, and you might end up in a really difficult situation afterwards, even with the severance package and all of that, especially in, you know, COVID times and the economic crisis that is probably going to follow, going to keep going. So, yeah, that's an important additional piece of context that you need to have when you think about all of those things.
So now that we're looking at a Blizzard that does not have Mike Morhaime at the helm of it, he's off doing his own thing, which, by the way, I want to get your take on here in a minute, because we didn't get a chance to talk to you yet about Dreamhaven. Mm-hmm. But one of the core tenets of his time there was worldwide company, a planetary effort toward gaming and coming together and esports and blah, blah, blah. Does losing this office with that many people and this kind of, I don't know, this sort of structure in Europe, and in particular in France, do you think that diminishes Blizzard's worldwide appeal / reach / any of that stuff?
I mean, you could have stopped at it diminishes Blizzard. Mm. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, added to the impact that it has on the company and the employees, I just want to add that, as you mentioned, I worked there for 5 years. I have good friends there. I have good memories. So I don't, again, not to get political, but I really feel that probably more than most people commenting about this. It's a part of my life that's whoosh, disappearing. Yeah. So I feel it very, very deeply. And if you want to be angry at Activision and Blizzard, by all means do that. But the even more important thing about getting angry at this company for, you know, firing employees in a ruthless manner, what you should be asking for is unionization, because that's why in France we can have a decently treated employees in those difficult times. The companies don't do that. The voice of the people banding together to have a voice allow for that to happen. So right. That's what's needed. Anyway, sorry.
Right. No, it's okay again, to bring up, because one of the things that is different here is there's plenty of unionization in this country. There's lots of it. Not in the gaming industry, right. And that's weird. Like, it's weird that they haven't gotten there yet, especially given the kinds of things that industry is prone to. Things like crunch, things like delays, yeah. Things like letting everybody go right after a successful launch of something. Like, there are a lot of things about the gaming business in general that do lean toward the benefit of the companies and against the benefit of those employees. And so I think is always worth discussing over here, is why or when will unionization, you know, become an issue, a big enough issue that people are actually talking about it, legislation passes, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And it's not about, you know, like, unions can have other issues, and I'm not going to talk about that. But the reality is, it's a discussion with just one person speaking. The workers in the gaming industry don't have a voice. They're not seated at the table. They're not represented because they don't have a common voice, and that's the main issue there.
Yeah.
So contrast that with everything I said about, you know, people in France being treated fairly and all of that, and the situation in the US. And anyway, going back to the question about Morhaime, absolutely, it is a very important aspect of Blizzard that, let's use Morhaime to personalize this for the sake of the argument. He really wanted to have Blizzard do everything themselves to make sure that it was done well.
Yeah.
And that is why there is the European HQ in Paris, to make sure that in Europe there are teams of people that can ensure things are done well, be it, you know, PR, marketing, merchandising, that there is quality control on the boxes that you manufacture, you know, things like that. maybe some people know the anecdote, but the reason it happened was that I believe it was Diablo that was published in Europe by a third-party publisher that they had a contract with.
Right.
And there was an issue with the manuals. I think the issue was the copy protection, where you had to find the the word, you know, line 4, word 7, was not taken into account when it was translated. So the copy protection was borked because the manual didn't fit the word that was requested.
Yeah.
When that happened, I believe it was Morheim personally who was like, okay, F this, we're going to do it ourselves, right? So the fact that Blizzard Europe disappears is significant because it means that automatically there won't be the same care that is going to be put into these kinds of things. And it's, obviously, it's not about boxes and physical manuals anymore. But maybe they don't need as many people. And maybe the people in London are going to do just as good a job. It wasn't clear when you described it, but the functions are being moved to London, to the London Activision Blizzard King offices.
Yeah, that's happening regardless, so, right? Like the responsibilities are being moved now, just not the people. The relocation of the people is not happening now.
Well, from what I know, I think the people could move if they wanted to. I think their jobs, for some of them at least, it's not clear because they haven't started negotiations yet. Maybe some of them could move, but no one wants to, right? You don't want to uproot your life and go to the UK at a time when Brexit is happening. You're leaving the EU, which is another big problem. And again, this is not to get political. It's the realities of the choices that are given to people.
Yeah.
But so the consequence of this is that the functions that were previously occupied by Blizzard Blizzard Entertainment employees, look like they're going to be consolidated into Activision Blizzard King employees. So I can speak about PR specifically because that's where I was working, but it's looking like Activision Blizzard King employees, PR people, marketing people, are going to be managing the one or two games that Activision puts out every year. And I was going to say one game that Blizzard puts out, but really, if you take away expansions, it's the zero games that Blizzard puts out.
Yeah.
So we can come back to that in a second. But the other important, and sorry, I speak a lot, but it's
this is good. That's why I was so glad you were coming on today, because I have zero expertise in this area. And it's good to hear from someone who knows more.
The other really important thing about the way Blizzard functions is that it works in a way that is very different from most other companies, and of course, video game companies, but companies in general. Usually, you have two main power sources, seats of power in a company. It's product and marketing, in the wide sense.
Sure.
And usually, the marketing people set the agenda, you know, when things are released, of course, in discussion with the product people. But when they say the game is coming out on that date, then it's coming out. And no matter what state it is in, and same with other types of product. At Blizzard, and a few, you know, a handful of other companies, Steam comes to mind, maybe Apple, arguably, et cetera,
sure.
The product people have the last say. And at Blizzard, certainly I felt that in my time working there, it is incredibly annoying how much power the devs have. When I say product, I mean the devs, of course.
Yeah.
And the devs, the game directors, are responsible for everything on the games, which makes it really annoying to get anything done when you're not in Irvine, because you need approval for everything. Like, not just the release schedule, of course, which is part of that, but even things like merch and interviews and events. Like, they approve everything. And that is not the way I think a company like Activision works. I think the marketing people have more power. And it's never 100%, of course, but I guess the marketing department decides on those things. And of course, you know, the devs have power in at Activision as well, I'm certain. But I wonder how the Blizzard culture that is remaining in Irvine with devs of them deciding is going to jive with the now Activision Blizzard culture at Activision of the marketing people who are used to deciding. And it's entirely possible that, you know, the Activision people, if they end up getting those roles of Blizzard PR and marketing and merch and community and everything, they're, you know, they know, you know, Blizzard is special and we don't mess with their decisions, maybe. But it seems like that would be a bunch of interesting conversations, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, I would think so.
There's a lot more to say, and I want to say a lot more, but I'm going to stop to let you get a couple words in.
Well, I have this question. Well, let's actually throw it back to Morheim. Do you think that whatever lessons are learned by his time and tenure as founder and long-running CEO of Blizzard and seeing it through its raw times all the way up through its you know, bounteous success times and then its tumultuous sort of final years times, do you think that Dreamhaven has he'll apply whatever lessons were learned there? Like, how we haven't had a chance for you to even say, how do you feel about Dreamhaven in general? And do you predict a day where it's like, hey, Morheim set up a new office in France because he wants European hands on with this thing and we'll just do it all over again?
I'm sure if they ever get big enough, they will do exactly that. I'm guessing they would. I'm not betting, but I'm guessing. And I'm sorry, I didn't listen to the episode where you talked about Dreamhaven. This is the other element that makes me think. So I try to be a very neutral person and look at things objectively. And there has been a lot of speculation about the influence that Activision is increasingly exerting over Blizzard for years now.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wasn't really seeing a lot of evidence of that. Some people point to BFA that, you know, came out before it was ready. Yeah, there have been really bad expansions before, and it was under Morheim's watch. There have been layoffs more massive, I said that at the time, than the ones that happened last year under Morheim's watch. So all of this could be, there were a lot of things. Blitzchung, I'm pretty sure it would have gone exactly the same way, or maybe not exactly, but I'm guessing it might have gone the same way, even in the quote-unquote old Blizzard. Maybe not, but it's not like conclusive evidence. Now, between Morheim essentially saying, I left because of Activision.
Mm-hmm. It's a subtweet, but yes, that's basically what he said.
It's not even sub. It's like a barely below, like on the surface.
Yeah, I agree.
And with this, which I think affects the way the company works, the Blizzard office disappearing in France, it seems like Activision is pushing towards Blizzard, for lack of a better description, becoming a studio without the support functions, a studio of Activision.
Yeah.
And so it seems to me pretty clear, not incontrovertible, but pretty clear that relationship between the two companies is changing. And I don't know if it's going to be, you know, it might not be all bad, but the way I put it is, I'm guessing it's not going to be all good either, right?
No.
And to get back to Morheim, I've often, for people who listen to Pixels, they might remember this. I don't know what makes Blizzard special. There are many developers that were at other game companies doing fun games before they came at Blizzard, and getting to Blizzard, they sung, like they expressed their best game design and artistic work ever. And then some of them left Blizzard and went on to do essentially not a lot.
Right.
Some of them are successful, but they didn't do a lot. So my guess was that the difference was Morheim and the company culture he instilled into that company. And I'm guessing, hoping he can do the same at Dreamhaven. I'm also hoping that that company culture is still alive there in Blizzard, that J. Allen Brack, who is now the president, who is coming from the development arm of Blizzard, right? They didn't replace Morheim with a suit, and maybe they knew they couldn't because it would have been a revolution.
Right.
Although essentially almost everyone at the company has left not everyone, that's not true, but a lot of leads have left. Yeah. But Jab comes from the development pull arm of that company. And so I hope that they still have some of that. And I also want to say, you know, Activision isn't the devil, I don't think. And again, take this in the context of what I just said. I believe that the companies don't work the same way. I'm pretty sure that this happening is business decisions to make sure that, you know, profits are as high as can be. But Activision has been pretty lenient with Blizzard in not putting out games. I think Kotick, that has been my longstanding belief, that he knows that in order to make as much money as possible, he should let Blizzard make the best games they can.
Yeah.
And if you set aside Warcraft 3 Reforged for a second, which let's pretend it didn't happen, it was a smaller project. I think it was a fuck up, but oh, sorry, it was, they messed up. But I'm not convinced it was Activision's F up. It yeah. might have been Blizzard's F up.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you know, Scott, but I like asking that questions to people who like hating on Activision.
Yeah.
How long has it been since Blizzard put out a real, you know, new game, not an expansion or additional content?
It's been a while.
4 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. What was it? Four years. Overwatch was the most recent. Right?
Yes, Overwatch in May 2016. Yeah. So it's 4.5 years. It will be 5 years, likely, you know, by the time a new game comes out.
Yeah.
It might be more.
Yeah.
5 years without putting out a major title.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, that doesn't seem to me like Activision is forcing Blizzard to put out titles with, you know, Diablo and Overwatch in the title to make a quick buck. This is the essence of what Blizzard is, to not put out a game if it's not really ready.
Yeah.
Like, I can't emphasize this enough. 4 years without a game for Blizzard. It's like, it's only, you know, Rockstar that does that,
yeah,
because they're working on the biggest, you know, Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption 2. But so I guess my conclusion there, and sorry, I'm going to stop talking, but my conclusion there is I still, certainly the relationship is changing. Mm. I'm not sure about what it's going to mean for the company. I'm a little bit more scared than I was before, and I think it is going to change things. Let's be realistic. I think it's going to change things. However, I am waiting to see games to see what happens, right? Yeah. We have Overwatch 2. We have Diablo 4 that are in the works that we know about. There are a few others. If they come out and they suck, then yes, there is something that's rotten in the kingdom of Blizzard and Activision. But they might be good. Yeah. You know, by all accounts, they're waiting to put them out to make sure that they're at least not bad. Even Diablo Immortal.
Mm.
Diablo Immortal, a quick buck-making, horrible, evil mobile game targeted at China, right?
Yeah.
It seems pretty clear that something wasn't working with that game the way it was, and they have been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and it was announced 2 years ago, and we still have no sign of it.
Yeah. All we got was a trailer this year from a Chinese trailer, and it didn't say anything. Yeah, I mean,
it was a BlizzCon last year. Yeah. We might hear about it a little bit more in January for BlizzCon Line, but... Oof. You know, this is the one thing that makes me think, all right, let's take a step back and again, be a little bit realistic about all of this. I pride myself in not being a fanboy of anything or anyone. I'm a fan, but I'm not a fanboy. And I think a fanboy can be also a hater if, you know, it turns on a dime. So I'm neither of those. I'm waiting for actual factual things that I can hang my reasoning onto.
Yeah.
And yeah, so far we don't have games.
Yeah, we just don't have games. Like that 4 year comment is a little striking. Truthfully,
isn't it?
Yeah, like I think we're further from the Overwatch release than Overwatch release was from the Diablo 2 or 3 release. Just to give you an idea how much time has passed. So they're itching for something new. And by all accounts, from some who have left and others who are still there, some of those canceled projects that came out of leaks and stuff were, you know, long in the tooth projects that were probably close to the kinds of things you could announce and then release in the next year. And they were just straight up canceled. So in some ways, this is just old Blizzard again. Like at the very least, this is old Blizzard with their timelines. And so this idea that this concept that they're just rushing things through doesn't hold water. There's nothing they've rushed through. There's nothing to rush through. Like,
I mean, again, let's pretend Warcraft 3 Reforged didn't happen.
Yeah,
let's
that doesn't count.
Push that one under the rug.
Not a problem.
BFA, I really think, doesn't fit the bill. They made decisions that ended up not working out. And yes, maybe you realize that that system is not working out. And you're like, okay, you know what? It's been 2 years. We have to push it. It has happened before in WoW expansions. WoW expansions are like the ticking clock that they never reached 1 year for, and they're like, we can't do more than 2 years for an expansion in WoW. Yeah. And if they did, I can guarantee you that there would be a lot of people much angrier than the people who are angry about the expansion not being great.
Yeah, I agree. It would be bad.
But even on the business side, if we look at it a little bit more coldly, you're not getting a massive, you know, a big income on a new release for 4 years. If you look at it from that angle, it's a lot more understandable that they're like, do we really need the 400 people twiddling their thumbs in Versailles? Again, they're my friends. I work there. It's a part of my life that is vanishing. I'm not liking it.
Yeah.
But 4 years, 5 years, maybe more without a game. I would love for it. It really concerns me that these functions are going to Activision Blizzard people.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. It's pretty insane. It's an intense moment. All right. I need to know if you're with me or against me on my prediction, and you didn't hear it, so you don't know what this is. Here's my prediction. My prediction is, even though Bonfire is Rob Pardo's thing and they left a long time ago, a lot, you know, it's been what, 2-3 years now since that thing was founded. I think Dreamhaven puts a game out before Bonfire Games does. What do you think?
I mean, I don't think Bonfire is going to put a game out this generation of console. They're going to wait for the next one. Like, you know, don't do 5G, do 6G. Why are you even bothering? No, I don't know. I mean, Bonfire has been incredibly quiet.
Yeah.
But it is very capable, very clever people, and Pardo chief among them. You know, he might have messed up Titan, but he is we don't know, but that's the assumption. He is a pretty competent game designer, to say the least.
Oh yeah, that dude had his fingers on all kinds of successful stuff at Blizzard, for sure.
A few of them, you know, just a couple of titles you might have heard of.
Yeah, you may have heard of WoW, World of Warcraft. That's a thing that he was in charge of for a long time.
Among other things. But no, I think they're conspicuously quiet. I think Bonfire is making a big game, and I think Dreamhaven is making small games to get started. So, because, you know, Dreamhaven, I don't know if you mentioned this, but it's entirely funded by the Moheims.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I think they're going to be making smaller games to get started, get the ball rolling, and then attack bigger games.
Yeah.
Bonfire, it seems like they're being a little bit more ambitious. I have no idea if that's the case. What I'm curious about also is Second Dinner, right? Their Marvel deal.
Maybe it's where all the other people, really
Marvel game,
because Dreamhaven got a ton of Hearthstone leadership and creatives. And
they got leadership from everywhere.
Yeah, but a lot of them are from Hearthstone, which surprised me. And all of Second Dinner, at least the beginnings of it,
is Hearthstone.
Hearthstone. So it's funny to see Hearthstone, this little game that could end up being this like talent sieve that's like sending people in these different directions and doing new things and stuff.
I mean, you know, again, people think of Warcraft of Blizzard as the Warcraft company and the Diablo company. It certainly is. But over the past decade, a lot of things they have done have been successful. But they have upended two entire genres like created one and appended another.
Yeah.
In the last decade, the decade for Blizzard is not World of Warcraft's decade. In you know, if you're talking about industry and history, Hearthstone created a genre, a very successful and prolific genre of card games. And I say created, I of course know that Magic existed on computers before, but you know, it's like
it was terrible.
It's like EverQuest existed as an MMO. It's not the same thing.
Oh, that's fired.
No. I played EverQuest. I liked it. I did. But it just wasn't the same level of
right.
You know,
you could popularity. Buy look, you could buy a Diamond Rio MP3 player, or later you could get an iPod. Like it exactly. went a very different direction. There was like that's what WoW is. WoW is that thing. So I totally get what you mean. And Hearthstone's totally that thing. Diablo is that thing.
And
like, that's what
like
they do.
How many card games have there been since Hearthstone? Like, even roguelite simile card games like, you know, Pyre and others. And what's the one? Oh, I can't remember. But
there's
so many of them.
There's so many. I would even argue things like Slay the Spire and freaking...
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, they all have some DNA from Hearthstone, for sure. No question.
And Overwatch, of course, you think of... competitive FPSs, but there are so many other things that Overwatch brought to the video gaming space, like the prevalence of heroes in shooters.
Yeah.
That didn't really exist before.
Not really.
Arguably, it was taken from MOBA, but everything is an inspiration of something else. But in shooters, heroes became a thing with Overwatch.
At least
the
in a much more expansive
the care
way,
for
right?
the animation.
Yeah. In a much more expansive way, heroes became a key part of that. Unlike, you know, you could look at Team Fortress 2 and say, oh, well, those were characters. And they were. And they were kind of
they're
heroes.
They're characters.
But
they're not heroes.
Right.
You know, it's like
it's different.
They're not as much the focus. And the animation, like the expressiveness, like the inventiveness of expressing the character of those heroes through animations. Like, of course, the... you know, play of the game animations and the little flourishes here and there, but even the hand animation, then the voices and the way you tell the stories between the characters through that dialogue in the waiting room. Like there is so much, like it's a relatively small game, Overwatch, in a scope,
right.
But the amount of brilliantly pure, beautiful ideas in the design of this game is incredible.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anyway, essentially what I'm saying is the 2010s for Blizzard were the year of Hearthstone and Overwatch. And that was a time where Activision was at the helm,
yeah.
right? It was, they bought the company in 2008. And people have been calling doom on Blizzard since 2008. Now,
since the day
some point,
happened.
They might be right. And it seems like we're getting closer to a point where Activision is indeed exerting more influence. So maybe it's happening now. Yeah. But
yeah, it's so easy to jump to those conclusions. But you're right. It seems like the pattern is like the usual pattern. The big difference is, yeah, we saw some big major creative names drop out and leave. Metzen left and others left. And
a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, if I'm being honest, it's who's left. Like, I don't want to disparage the people who are left, but the people we know, the people who made their name at Blizzard or increased their names, there's like Jeff Kaplan, pretty big name, Tom Tilton, Corey Stockton.
Yeah.
That's the people I want to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But everyone else who was a big name at Blizzard, they're, you know, either at Bonfire, Second Dinner, or Dreamhaven.
Yeah.
Like it's or, that means something. Yeah. Like the exodus is not insignificant.
No, not at all. I mean, Greg's case off to Riot, and you know, Riot's.
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was different.
It was.
That
but was. But I kind of see him as the first dude. Like that was 2014.
No, I.
You don't think?
I really don't think so. I think the reason Greg Treat left and. You know, he's kind of confirmed this on Twitter a number of times. He wanted to make hardcore gamers targeted games.
Yeah.
And Blizzard is in the accessible arcadey game with depth, but arcadey game. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the kind of game he wanted to design. I think that's the reason he left.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, I don't know, there are some companies who now replicate Blizzard in terms of their following, their fan devotion, their quality of product. Like, that's happening in other places more than it used to. Blizzard used to be this one shining example, right? Like, nobody was like that. And now it feels like there's way more like that. And sometimes they're really small teams.
Which ones?
Oh, things like... Oh, I would probably say the guys who made Hades, Supergiant Games, I would put in that category. Supergiant? They're small. You know, they're, I think they're like a 50
person. Yeah, they're so small, though.
They're small, but there's a shared lineage of start small, but blow people's minds even with your very first project. And everything they put out is so polished and so complete. That's and true. Even when they do a process of early access, like they did with this most recent game, Hades, that game felt finished from day one. It was obvious they were going to tweak and tune, but really it was just tuning. And, you know, but like graphics and animation and music and voice and gameplay, all of it feels so finely tuned. That reminds me of the Blizzard way, or the Blizzard way I have in my head. And I think there's other, there some I can't think of at the moment, but there are other small studios like that. And when I say small, I think those guys are like 100 people now or something. They're not huge, but they're, you know, they're pretty small. I don't know. I like that. I like that some have figured out what their culture should be, and their games seem to reflect that. And if there was one thing, it seems like Morhaime would do different if he had to do it all over again, is it's not have this ownership of, you know, having other companies who had to flip the bill for everything, because he just wasn't in a position to do it. Yeah. You know.
I think Morhaime is never going to sell Dreamhaven ever.
Oh yeah, that'll never happen. Not once. The whole point of it is
I think what's going
to
happen is they will put out a couple of games and get raise some capital that will be no more than 49% of the voting rights at the company.
Oh yeah.
He will raise capital. Like, he's not going to just finance this. Oh, maybe he will, but I think he will raise capital, but he's going to wait to have a couple of games out, and he will not relinquish the,
the Plus control he'll, of that. He'll design those in a way that is 100% favored in their direction. Like these are the lessons that they'll learn and take away. I hope. Yeah. I mean, it's all speculation.
He's going to do a Zuckerberg and go like, I have 2% of the shares, but I have 51% of the voting rights. So off.
There you go. Screw off, everybody. Well, speaking of talented Blizzard and possibly big revealing things, this is way too much lead up, but Chris Metzen and I are sitting down for another interview this coming Tuesday. It will not be live streamed, but it will be on the podcast feed shortly thereafter, either Tuesday right after or sometime Wednesday. It just sort of depends on a couple of timing issues that we're still working out. But if you want to know what Chris has been up to and what he might be up to next, boy, howdy, you're going to want to hear this interview. That's on Tuesday this coming week, which I guess is the 12th, 13th, whatever it is.
I mean...
something like that.
He's going to Dreamhaven, right? No. And then he's going to call up Samwise Didier, and they're going to... I mean, they have... Oh, well, Metzen was never in the band, but they have Sigeti there.
They have Sigeti.
They need Didier, they have Morhaime, and they need Berggren.
Yeah,
and they have level 70 elite Torrent Chieftain.
Yeah, if you're looking for a Torrent Chieftain reunite, that seems like it's possible... over at Dreamhaven. I can say with some authority, that he is not going there. But that is to say, Metzen is not.
No, well, okay. But what is Didier doing? Like, I see him, like, just in a cave at Blizzard, eating, like, chips and going like, you will never get me out of here. I'm just staying here on my couch and I'm comfortable and I am not moving. That's what I think Samwise Didier is doing.
Let's say this. Let's say this interview will reveal some of the answers to the questions you have and possibly more that you didn't know you had. Let's find out together this coming Tuesday. Yes, Patrick, go ahead.
He's gonna paint Warhammer figurines for a living.
Well, if
look
there's a
out
way to
for
do
his
it,
Patreon.
Yeah, look for the Patreon coming soon. More Metzen painting figurines. He loves that stuff. So anyway, you guys tune in and find out for yourselves. It's going to be a big deal. That's Chris Metzen and myself sitting down. We'll put it on the Instance feed, probably a couple other places, actually, because I think it's going to be a big whoop. Stay tuned for that. It's going to do it, I think. Patrick, I know you got other stuff going on. Anything you want to talk about in particular? Been a weird last couple of months for video game news with all the console stuff and leaks and then prices and price wars and then the horrible pre-order experiences and all of that. And Pixels is always a good place to go for that kind of info. What can people expect this week?
Pixels has changed a little bit. It's now a monthly show where I go over the news from the previous month. So if WoW is your jam and you don't care about any other video games, but you still want to be informed, my latest episode of Pixels is a summary of everything that happened in September. And oh my God, did things happen. It was an incredible month. Yeah. So go check out Pixels. You can find the link at notpatrick.com. Also, I have my PlayStation 5 pre-order, since you're talking about that, is essentially canceled here. Oh. And I don't know what to do. So if anyone has an extra PlayStation 5 pre-order that they don't know what to do with, I would be happy to pay for the console and the transportation to get it here to me in Finland. So patrick@frenchspin.com, just send me an email and we can do business. I won't pay extra. I don't like scalpers. But patrick@frenchspin.com.
All right. Thank you. I got the same deal going with an Xbox Series X. If anybody got an extra one on pre-order and doesn't know what to do with it, I will also pay for it and it's transport.
Oh, I have one.
What?
I can easily get a second one, I think. Do you want me to send you an Xbox?
Yes. And I'm ready. Let's do it. Well, yes.
Okay, you send me your PlayStation 5 and I send you a Nick. I'm gonna go see if I can find an Xbox Series X. Do you want one?
Yeah, maybe? I really do. Legit. Are they different in different territories though? Like,
I don't think so. No, okay. I think the territory locking is a thing of the past.
I don't need to have a PAL television or whatever the stupid format's called or whatever.
No, you do not. Let me see if it's still. Well, we'll talk.
All right, we'll talk.
Because in Europe, we don't care about Xbox, so we have many of them of it.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of Xboxes. Over here, not so much. Things went a little nuts on this side. All right, well, that sounds great. Very excited to hear more. That's going to do it for the show today, everybody. Thank you for being here. TheInstance.net is our website. You're encouraged to go there if you're looking for anything. You're trying to contact us, whatever. You can find Patrick at NotPatrick on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Garrett, who's normally here, is at Garrett Art. And the show is at Instance Show. And if you're looking to support us, you can do that at TheInstance.net as well. All the details are there. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, and for all the people happy about the 13th and their new characters they're going to make. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.